We're on page 952, close to the bottom of the page, at the end of Parashas Devarim, Perek Gimel. Okay, three lines to the end of the page. Okay, after they finish conquering Sichin, as the Torah says, so Vanefen Vanal Derech Haboshen. So afterwards, these two Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu again is repeating the history, we came to the place of Boshen. The king of Boshen came out to meet us. His whole nation came out to fight Edrei, to the place of Edrei. Okay? It's the name of a place. Now we find an interesting thing. The commentators ask, when they came to Sichin, Moshe Rabbeinu sent a messenger, let us go through, you know, and then he said no. Then they fought. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu make the same offer to Og Melech HaBashan? He didn't say, let us go through your land and then Og will come out and fight like Sichin did. What was the difference between the time of Sichin and the time of Og? So the Mefarshim explained like this. Because Hashem wanted Sichin to think, Sichin and Og, who were hired to protect the seven nations. He wanted them to think that the Jews were afraid of Sichin and Og. By sending messengers, that means he thought the Jews were too weak to fight. They were scared to fight. So therefore they're going to let's go peacefully. Why did Hashem do that? Because he wanted Sichin to think the Jews were afraid of him. But after the Jews conquered Sichin, and Og Melech HaBashan saw that the Jews are very strong, so there's no purpose what he's going to show Og that the Jews are weak, and therefore we're offering to go through you. He already saw the power of the Jewish people. They destroyed the whole country of Sichin, and the giants and everything else. So there's no purpose of sending the messengers. Okay? That's one thing. Another interpretation other Mefarshim say is that as soon as Sichin lost, Og came out to meet them. Right away. He didn't even have time to offer them peace. As soon as Sichin, look what it says in the Pasuk. We went Derech HaBashan, right? We didn't even have a chance to speak to them. Og already came out to fight. So that was the difference between Sichin and Og. Hashem said to me, Al Tira Esei, don't be afraid of Og, Melech HaBashan. I'm giving you him, his nation, his land. You're going to do to him what you did to Sichin, who lived in Cheshbon, just like you destroyed him, you're going to destroy Og. Now, over here, Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be afraid of him. Right? By Sichin, Hashem didn't tell him, don't be afraid of Sichin. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu? The fact that Hashem said to him, don't be afraid, means he was afraid, and Hashem had to tell him, don't be afraid. Right, obviously. So why by Sichin was he not afraid, and what merit did Og have to be? So Rashi says one, but there's really six interpretations of why it was very interesting ones, why Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Og. Basically, Og had a certain schus that Sichin didn't have. Right? And that was Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of. So Rashi says, because when the four kings fought the five kings, you know, in Parshas Lech Lecha, so what happened over there was, Vayavi Apolit, Lait was captured, right? The four kings won, Lait was captured. Vayavi Apolit, the refugee came to tell Avram that Lait was captured. Right, that's the story. Then Light chased him, Avram chased him and he won. So who was that Polit? Who was the refugee? Og. What was he a refugee from? Two interpretations. Either Rashi says over there in Lech Lecha, he was a refugee from the war of the four against the five. Or he was a refugee from the Mabul. Because everybody died in the Mabul, except Og Melech HaBashan sat on the table, or hold down to the table, whatever, and Neach fed him, and that's the way he is saved.
It was younger? Was
he
young?
He was obviously much younger, but he was still very big.
How much food did he
952. He gave him a lot of food. The Mefarshim on Mamlev bring down the Sikh and Egg every day ate a bunch of horses and mules and camels and was a day.
Yeah.
Horses?
You know how big they were? What is
it? Remember you told they
no, there was a Lubavitcher Shchita horse. Chabad Shchita. What do you mean? These guys are massive. They ate a meal. You know, these guys are not going to go hungry. Now, here's an interesting thing. Taking this one reason, why was Moshe Rabbeinu afraid of Eid? So he said because Eid has a zchus to tell Avram that Lot was captured. Yeah, but the Medrash adds to this, and this is an interesting point. Why did he come? Was he such a tzaddik to tell Avram that Lot was captured? He was hoping that Avram would go to battle and get killed, and then Eid would marry Sarah.
Oh.
That's what Rashi says over there in Lech Lecha. Okay? He wanted, it wasn't L'Shem Shemayim. Eid wanted to tell Avram that Lot was captured. He knew Avram was going to go fight. He was hoping Avram would get killed, the four kings of the five over there, and he'd be able to marry Sarah.
How come that's Zechut? You're doing the
problem. Oh, one second. So the question, what type of schus is that? He didn't even do it lishma. Right? His intention was evil. So it says, especially by Goyim, especially before Matan Torah, it's similar to the famous question in the opposite way. If the Malachim by Avram Avinu didn't eat, right? They didn't. They just made like they ate. How did Avram get the mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim that we learn out from Avram Avinu that Hachnasas Orchim is greater than Kabbalah's Bnei Hashchina? Right? So there it says, by Tzadikim, before Matan Torah, the intent mattered, not the action. By Rishoyim, the action mattered, not the intent. Bottom line is, Eig came to Avram, and through that light was saved. So even though he had a bad intention, Avram should get killed and he'll marry Sarah, but nevertheless, his action was good. And because of that, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of Eid. Maybe he had that particular schus that nobody had. That's reason number one.
So his intent was not good, but his action...
His action was good.
After Matan Torah, action is more important than intent?
Yeah.
So where is Kavanah?
Reverse.
Why should we have Kavanah?
Because you need a neshama to it. But if you put on film without Kavanah, or you have Kavanah without putting it on, what do you get?
Doesn't matter.
If you have all the Kavanah of the Kabbalah and Halacha and whatever, yeah, and you don't put them on, you get a mitzvah?
No.
Okay. Okay, so one reason he says like this. Tzadikim are always afraid. He says like this. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. Maybe we sinned in the battle of Sichin. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, they killed the Alp Sichin. The Jews took the plunder. They took the spoils. They took everything. Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is what the Mefarshim explained. Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the Jews sinned in the Milchama of Sichin. And if the Jews sinned, maybe now Eig will be able to conquer the Jews because the Jews lost, because they sinned. So Hashem said, Al Tira Eisei, you don't have to be afraid. The Jews didn't do anything wrong. They didn't lose any schusim. You don't need to lose anything. That's number one. Number two, that Eig was so big. Yeah, from all the giants, Eig was the biggest and the strongest. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of him. That's it. A third thing is, it says a whole story from a medrash over here. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to fight with Eig, it became dark. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know what, let's sleep here tonight, and then tomorrow we'll go into Eig and fight him. Before daylight, the Jews started going in, but it was still dark. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Eig was sitting on top of a massive high tower, and his feet touched the ground. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh my God, it looks like they built this wall overnight. He didn't realize it was Oig. He thought they built the wall, but Oig became the wall. So he said that's what he was afraid of. Okay, another thing is like this, and this is an interesting, and this opinion is a big argument in various opinions. One opinion says, who was Oig? Okay, says we learned already in Chumash in Shabbos that Daskin Bel Tosef brings down that Oig Melech HaBashan was Eliezer Eved Avram. It says like this: when Eliezer was the servant of Avram, so at the time Avram Avinu circumcised his whole house, you know, all the people, Oig also had a bris. So now when they went out to battle, Oig said, I had a bris before Moshe Rabbeinu. I had a bris all the way from the beginning. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, okay, of Oig. He says he has a bris from Avram Avinu, from the original circumcised guys. Hashem said, don't worry, he already impurified it, his bris. Okay? So therefore, he says, don't be afraid of the bris mila. He lost. Whatever z'chus he had, he lost. Another thing is like this. Eliezer was sent to find the shidduch for Yitzchak, right? After he came back, after he came back, and he saw that, Besuel wanted to kill Eliezer, and Hashem made a switch, and Besuel died, you know, with the poison, with the food, right, by Eliezer's story. So he says, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid, look what type of schus he had. Eliezer had a schus that he wasn't killed. So he must be a great man. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. Hashem said, don't worry. His reward was given, because after he came back with the shidduch, finding a shidduch for Rivka, Avram Avinu freed him. Avram Avinu freed him. And he became Oig Melech HaBashan. Okay?
Was it strong at that time?
How did he fit in the tent of Avram Avinu?
How did he fit in the tent?
Yeah.
He stood outside.
The whole day.
What?
It doesn't make sense. How did he get a dress?
Yeah. What did he do, Bechlal?
There's a lot more puzzling things.
There's more puzzling things. But there's an interesting Dasken Malatesis earlier in Chumash that says Avram Avinu freed Eliezer and he became Oig Melech HaBashan. So over there, Dasken Malatesis in Chumash asks, but it can't be. Eliezer was a tzaddik. An egg was a rasha. Okay? So he says, there were a lot of Oig Melech HaBashans. There was a lot of Oig Melech HaBashans. Eliezer, just like all the kings of Egypt were called Parei. All the kings of Bashan were called Oig. So Eliezer was a tzaddik, and this egg was a rasha, but it wasn't the same guy. So according to this opinion, it was the same guy. Because he was the same guy. And then it says something, but Daskim says something else. In the Medrash it says, Eliezer never died. It says one of the nine people that went alive to Gan Eden, it says in the Medrash, one of them was Eliezer, Eved Avram. So Moshe Rabbeinu killed Oig, like we're soon going to learn. So how could it be Eliezer? Therefore, Taisa says there was a different, that Oig, this Oig, or different Oigs. So there's different opinions exactly who this egg was. But according to that opinion, this egg wasn't Eliezer. But Oig, not Eliezer, but Oig told Avram that light was captured in that egg without being Eliezer along the way. And that's another interesting thing. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that from Oig Melech HaBashan is going to come out Reb Shimon ben Nisano, who is Yirei Chet. Anyway, one second, let me just see who says this one. Membase. Yalkut, yeah. The Yalkut says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Ruach HaKodesh that from Eig Malach HaBashan is going to come out Rav Shimon ben Nisanel in Pirkei Avos, the five students of Rabbi Yechim and Zakei. So, and he was a Yerei Chet. He feared sin. So Meshe Rabbeinu said, maybe the schus of his great-great-great-great-grandson is going to help for Eig. So Hashem said, don't worry, because Rabbi Yechim ben Zakei is going to come out from you. And Rabbi Yechim ben Zakei was Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel's Rebbe, so you have nothing to be afraid of. This is the various reasons why he was afraid of him. There's another interesting medrash about Eig that you bring down over here, but it's a very famous medrash. It says...
So Og was alive from the time of Avram?
Many opinions say it wasn't that long, by the way.
From Avram to Moshe Rabbeinu?
It's 400 years.
Four hundred.
200 Egypt. They went to Egypt. Okay, so he says like this. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, egg is like the grass for me. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. He said, what happened? It says that when Avraham Avinu made a parody for Yitzchok, B'yem Higamal as Yitzchok, he said, Mishta Godel. Made a very big parody. So Rashi says, what does Mishta Godel mean? The Gedele Hadar were there. All the famous guys of the generation was there. So it says that the people were making fun of Eig. Okay? Amru Malchi Knan L'Eig. At this parody that Avram made, B'yem Higamal as Yitzchok, which is either Bar Mitzvah, 2 years, Bris, the whole argument in the Medrash, when that meal was. So he said, you said that Avraham Avinu is like a mule that doesn't give birth, and you're going to inherit him. And now, look at this, Avraham Avinu gave birth to a baby. So the people were making fun of Eig. They said, you were preaching the whole time that Avram is sterile, he's like a mule. And he's not going to have any children, and I'm going to get all his money. And here Avram Avinu had a baby. So what happened? Amar Eig. What did Eig say at the party? This is all Lashon of a Medrash. Yochel ani lahorig yitzur katan zeh be'etzpe ketana. He says, I can crush this kid with my little pinky. Eig. So Hashem said to him, Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? You're going to see that you're going to get killed by the hands of his grandchildren, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? And also, he brings out another thing. Bizman Shel Yaakov Avinu. When he came to Paray, when Yaakov Avinu came to Paray, he met Eig. Amal Paray, did you say that Avram is not going to have any kids? Look at this. He had a kid. So, here, Leig started making an ayin hara. Bottom line is, Hashem said to him, you're making fun of your power. The Jews, his great-grandson is going to kill you. This is what happened. Now, let's learn another pasuk or two, and then we'll see exactly what Leig did over here. So Hashem said, Al-tira eisei ki b'yachon asati eisei ke. V'yitein Hashem elokeinu b'yadeinu. Hashem gave us in our hands. Gam es Eig Melech HaBashan, es kol Amay, the whole nation. V'nakeu ad bilti hishel esorid. We killed him and there was nothing, no survivor was left. Now it says in the Medrash, how did Eig do it? What happened over here? Okay. Eig started taking, it's hard to understand in this literal sense. Eig was so big, he started picking up mountains and throwing it at the Jews. So it says, Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Rabbeinu took the mate, a board, no, a little board. And he wrote, Shem HaMafeirish. And he wrote God's name on it. And when Eig threw the mountain, Moshe Rabbeinu held up this thing and the mountain stopped. They didn't commit the Jews. So then what happens like this. When Eig saw that he couldn't throw mountains at the Jews, Akar Har B'Shir Echad, he picked up a mountain that covered the whole Jewish camp. The whole Jewish camp took up three parts, which is 12 mil. We mentioned this morning. It's like By Mincha we said it's 48,000 feet approximately. It's like 9 miles. By 9 miles. He picked up a mountain that big.
Oh my God.
And he was just going to throw it on the Jews. So it says Hashem brought little ants. Nemolim. A nemol is like a little animal. No, a nemol is like an ant. No? Ant, okay. And they started making a hole in the middle of the mountain, and the mountain fell into his head. In other words,
look at them saying,
"How fast?
Huh? Very fast." It says, "V'yodeh har al tzavari." And then what happened when he wanted to pick up the mountain off his teeth? Hashem said, "He's nishtarve v'ushinov mishnei atzdod." Egg's teeth grew out, and he couldn't pick up the mountain over his head. The mountain was stuck. That's why it says Shine Shem Shibarta, and said, "Don't be the Shibarta, but Nishtarvav." One second. So then he couldn't kill the Jews that way. It didn't work. Okay, so how did Meishe Rabbeinu kill Egg? The Gemara says like this: Meishe Rabbeinu was 10 amos high. Meishe Rabbeinu had stick, the matah that he had was also 10 amos high. And he jumped 10 amos.
Was 30 feet high?
10 amos is 15 feet high. And the stick was 15 feet high. And he jumped 15 feet high. And he hit the bottom of Egg's ankle, and he killed him.
I'm finished with this.
The ankle. At Pikas Ragli, until the ankle of his foot, and he killed him, like it says in Parshas Chukas. Okay? Now, you asked a very interesting question. Do we believe in all this? No?
No.
Yes.
You believe?
It's here. I mean, I have to believe it, but I mean, does it make sense? No.
Why can't it make sense?
Because somebody with 15 feet and 15...
Meishe Rabbeinu was 15 feet tall. In those days, it wasn't uncommon. Oh, so one way of looking at this, and in fact, Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, the Rambam had a son by the name of Rabbi Avram, he writes in his, one of his Akdamas that a lot of the things in the Gemara, the stories of Midrashim, are not literal. There, what's called Guzma. For instance, he brings down over there, there's a number of things. The Gemara says that Shimshin Agibur, Bank Seifov, between his shoulders, was 60 amos. That means it was at 100, he was 100 feet wide. He'd be good in a football game. You know what, 100 feet wide? So the Mashon, the Gemara, many of the commentaries say, it doesn't mean literally that he was 60 amos wide. No, not exaggeration. We find psukim that 60 is connected to a certain number. You know, certain things are connected to certain numbers, and they mean spiritual things of that. So,
it's like the mother tells the child, "I told you 100 times not to do it." But
she probably did tell her 100 times.
Maybe she did it two or three times, but she said it the 100.
Okay, but the bottom line is, first of all, you know, they say about the Baal Shem Tov, I mentioned this 7 years, so this Mashiach. They say about the Baal Shem Tov that whoever believes all the stories that they hear about the Baal Shem Tov is a fool, but whoever believes it couldn't happen is an apikeris. In other words, could the stories happened in the Pshat? Yeah, it could have happened in the Pshat. Hashem made a lot of miracles. Kriyas Yamsuf, and all those, there were a lot of miracles that happened. So are these things sometimes gizmoris? Yes, it says in Gemara that the Torah speaks many times gizmoris. The Rishonim write, some of the stories of Ein Yaakov are not literal. They have deeper meanings why the protest in 60 and 49 or whatever number the pasuk picks. Was Meisha literally physically 10 amos high, 15 feet? First of all, it's very possible that he was 10 amos high. And that's what it seems from a lot of psukim, a lot of gemaras, that Meishe Rabbeinu was actually 15 feet high, 10 amos. But when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu Tanamis, another interpretation, I'm not saying he wasn't, because Pshat is that he was Tanamis Ay, but Tanamis Tov. But it also means that 10 represents Shleimus, completeness. Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate level of completeness. So the Torah calls it 10. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of Nisan that happened, and this is, that it literally happened, it could have happened, whatever. He says it's possible that maybe the mountains refer to the Ovis. The Ovis were called the Horim. You know, there's a lot of interpretations, but you can't say that it didn't happen kipshute in the simple meaning, because it's very possible that it did. And that's it. Why can't we believe that it happened? I mean, not whatever I say, whatever the Torah says. Okay, so it says like this. Is called we conquered all this Pasuk Dalet, yeah, on page 954. We captured all the cities at that time. There was no city that we didn't take from them, we didn't capture from Meg. 60 cities in the region of Argeib. Mamlechas Eg Baboshim was the kingdom of Eg and Boshim. Okay, they had 60 massive cities. And he says, what does it mean? Kol Eile, all these 60 cities. He probably had more, but these are unique cities. Yeah? Besures Chayma were all fortified cities. Chayma Gveya, a high wall. The Lasayim of Briach, doors and bars, you know, they're holding the door shut. Levad Me'ari Aprizi Harbe Meid. Besides the Prozim city, open cities. So the Mishnah, I mean, the Pasuk is saying that just in his kingdom were 60 very powerful fortified cities. That's besides all the other open cities. By the way, there's another interesting thing here about Mr. Sichin, because it says that, where is this? There's a whole, discusses who. Oh, here it is. Okay, we'll discuss it soon when we get to those psukim. It says, Sichin and Nei, by the way, were brothers. Yeah. Sichin and Nei were brothers. So the question is, nobody remained from the flood except Eig. So how could Sichin be his brother? We'll soon see. It's a very interesting thing that happened. Sichin and Eig were brothers.
Also from Noah?
Who?
So he's also there.
From Noah's time. Okay, let's see.
One
let's
interpretation.
Huh?
One interpretation.
I thought only Og was the only one left.
Yeah, we'll soon see. He was in a concealed fashion. We'll tell you in a minute. V'nachrim Esam. Okay, let's see the Pesukim inside. Pasuk Vav. V'nachrim Esam. We destroyed the cities. Kasha Sina Sichem Elchad Cheshben, like we did to the Sichem, the king of Cheshben. Hachrim kol ir misim, destroying every populated city. Hanoshim v'ataf, the women and the kids, they killed everybody. Because like we said, once they were really from the nations of Amori, that the Jews had an obligation to kill. But once they came to fight the Jews, then they had a mitzvah, they had to kill them all out. V'chol ha-behema, all the animals of Shlal Ha'odim and the spoils of the cities, Bazanu Lodu we took for ourselves. Okay? Vanikach, I'm just going to read all these two, and we're going to discuss Sichin and Eich. Vanikach, Veisei Yisra'aretz, we took the land from the two kings of Amedi, Asher Ve'ever, Yardin, Minachal Arnein, from the Nachal of Arnein, from the brook of Arnein, until Har Chermin, Mount Chermin. Tzidenim Yukru L'Chermin, Syrian, the Tzidenim called it Chermin, the Syrian, the Amedi called it Sneer, Kol Ari Amishar, all the cities of the plain, V'chol ha-Gilad, v'chol ha-Boshan, all of Gilad and all of Boshan. Atzalch v'adrei, ori mamlechas eba Boshan. Okay, this is all, the Torah is just saying, geographically, all the cities that the Jews conquered from Eig. Yeah, and then it says like this. Kirak Eig melech ha-Boshan, because only Eig, the king of Boshan, Nisha miyaser ha-Rafoyim, was left over from the giants. Okay? So Rashi over here says, when Amraphel, you know, the four kings and the five kings, when they killed out all the people, they killed out all the giants except Ag. And according to the other opinion, Sichon also. Okay? He was the only one that was saved from the king. Polity was the only refugee from the entire war was Ag. Okay? According to Targum Yenison, like we said before, Ag was a refugee, not from the war of the four and against the five, but from the Mabul, from the flood.
This oak was so strong.
Yes, 1 minute. Let's see now. Hine arsei eres barzel. His bed was an iron bed. Alehi berabas b'nei amen. And if you want to know where the bed is, the pasuk says it's in Rabbis, in the museum of Rabbis b'nei amen. Teisha amas oko. It was 9 amas long. Arba amas rochbo. 4 amas wide. Ba'amas ish. Okay? Now, normally beds were made from wood.
Yes.
But here the pasuk says his bed had to be made from metal. Too much weight.
Yes.
To break the wood.
Good okay? Engineering, huh?
And it says, Rashbam says, that even this is referring to when Egg was a baby.
Wow.
When Egg was a baby, it says, that he can even break a wooden, and therefore this is what the Rashbam learns, that this passage that it was 9 amas long and 4 amas wide was ba'amas ish. And Rashi says, what does it mean ba'amas ish? Ba'amas eig. Because our measurements of an amma, foot and a half, 9 amas is not a very long bed. 9 amas would be foot and a half, would be 13 and a half feet. Big deal. It means ba'amas ish in eig's amma. Not in our amma. In eig's amma. That's the Rashi. Ba'amas ish. Ish, the prominent guy. It wasn't in our thing. Okay. So, learn like this. Now, he says like this. Eig, whose son was Eig? He was the son of Shamchazoi.
He had a wife?
Who?
Oh.
God bless her if she did.
I'm sure he had a kid. One minute, what does the pasuk say?
The wife also who?
1 minute.
Giant.
Huh? Kolame, Avisi who's married.
Giant.
Okay.
Maybe
Sifon
was his wife.
No. Now, let me tell you what's going on over here. He brings down this very interesting medrash. Okay, I'm going to be part of the medrash. In Dur Enish, this is going all the way. There were two giants that fell down from heaven in the days of Enish. Okay? One was Shamchazoi, and one was Azel. That were their names. In Dur Enish, people started worshipping idols. Like the pasuk says, they started worshipping idols. So Hashem didn't know what to do with the world. Should he destroy them? Not destroy. What should he do? They're already worshipping idols. So two malachim came. It's the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. At the time you created man, and we said to him, Mo enish ki tizkerenu. We said to you, why you create man? They're going to sin. Right? And the proof of it, you created Adam Rishon. Right away he sinned with Chava. Right away he sinned. So Hashem said, so the Malach, these two guys said, Hashem destroy the world. Olam says, Hashem says, so what's going to be with the world if I kill all people? Mm-hmm. Who's going to run the world? They said, Anachnu Nia Ba'elam. We'll be there. These are Malachim talking. Hashem said, if you're going to be in the world, you're going to get a Yetzirah. How are you going to be worse than the people?
Wow.
Okay? So he says, Adam and Eve sinned with one woman. And you're going to sin with a lot of women. That's what he said. Okay. So the Malachim said to Hashem, this is, by the way, a very famous Medrash. It says in the Medrash, the Malachim said to Hashem, let us go out. Let us go down. Give us permission to go down into the sea. Okay. So Hashem came down. As soon as they came down into the world,
Malachim came down.
The Malachim came down. As soon as they came down, they started sinning. They started committing adultery with the girls, and it was unbelievably bad. Okay, so what happens? He brings down a veil like this. Shamchazoi saw a beautiful girl. Her name was Istahed, whatever. He wanted to marry her. So the girl said, I'm not going to listen to you until you teach me the real name of God. The Shema Mefedesh. So he taught her. Second, she learned the name of Hashem. She flew up to heaven away from him. Not to be with him. Okay. So he says, she had a very, very great chus. So these two malachim also wanted to go back to heaven. Hashem made him forget the shame of Mefedesh. The lochul amnashim, they got married, these two giants, and they had many kids. Okay? Now, Oig was the son of Shamchazoi. That was the son. Okay? Now, then what happened? Okay. Now what happened with him? Okay. What happened with Sichon? That's Oig's story, where Oig came from. Sichon was another story.
That's the other giant?
Sichon happened like this. Okay, if I don't find, I'll just tell you what it says. No, you know, it says one of these giants, this Shamchazoi guy, committed adultery with Chum's wife, Mrs. Chum. Okay? He committed adultery with her. And she got pregnant.
And who was the Chum's husband?
Chum was the man.
Who was Chum?
Noach's son.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know the famous story that Chum had relations with his wife in the Teva because they weren't allowed to. He was punished for that. Okay. Why did he have relations with his wife in the Teva? So it says, because when Chum found out that she was pregnant, his wife was pregnant from Shamchazoi, whatever his name was, she felt very bad. So to make her feel good, he lived with her in the Teva. Okay. But Lebel, she was pregnant from this Malach, Shamchazoi, who was Eich's father, and she gave birth to Sichon. So Sichon was in the Teva pregnant. I mean, he was a fetus. He wasn't pregnant. But therefore, Eich and Sichon and Eich were actually brothers.
So he was born in the Teva or outside?
He was born outside the Teva, but she was probably pregnant with that size kid could be pregnant for a long time.
Must have been pregnant for a long time.
Yep. But that's what actually happened to Sichon. Oh. Sichon was a brother of Oig.
Oh, why to such an extent to say how big and how powerful they are? Mine have given, a lot of stories, a lot of midrashim that they were strong, they were giburim, but so what? I mean, what do we get out of it? So much
Midrashim are wasted.
Wasted? In a sense. I mean,
what do we learn out of it? What do you think we learn from it?
That Moshe
Rabbeinu
was just as strong as them?
No. We learn from it that the most powerful forces of evil cannot destroy a Jew. The only one that could destroy a Jew is a Jew. And the Medrash tells us how strong Oig was, how powerful Oig was, how big Oig was. And yet, so it seems that the powerful forces of the world, seem to be powerful, right? And the Jew could be afraid of the evil forces of the world. So Hashem says, Al tira isay. Don't be afraid of it. So the more the Torah tells us how powerful Oig was, how powerful evil, it's a battle of good and bad, right? Evil, good and evil. The more the Torah tells us how strong he was, right, that's what happened. What?
Was his city later on given to the Jews?
Yeah, but Gad and Bnei Reuven. The when they said we have a lot of
good
cattle, we want
good
yeah.
place for cattle. It's very green area.
Is that the land where David HaMelech is talking about?
No.
Tehillim?
What? It depends where Tehillim. Which part of Tehillim you're talking about? If you're talking about yeah. And in fact, the Gemara, the Medrash says that nobody praised Hashem for the victory of Sichem Ve'eg until David HaMelech and Tilum. We say before, you know, before Hadas Vamuna, Shabbos. But this is what happened. So the Torah is teaching us, by the way, this is exactly what the Torah is teaching us, that as powerful as evil, that means, there's a Rishima from the Rebbe about this, that Medrash that we said before, you know, that Eich said, I'm going to crush him with my finger. Yeah.
Baby.
First, they come along and say that Avram is sterile. He's a mule. He cannot give birth to any Kedusha. You know, he can't do anything. And then he said, I'm going to crush the Yidden with my tiny finger. Right? What happens in reality?
He got crushed.
Reverse.
So what does that show? What is the Torah teaching us from all these stories? The Torah, here it's Taka says, Zonim ishte shocham benech v'nesabim mimena, and that's what happened over there. Okay. So, bottom line is, the Torah is teaching us, you can have a giant, you can have sichen and eig, you can have fortified evil, but the Ebershter says, Hashem says, al tira eise, ki biyotcha nasate, I give it over to your hand. The Jew cannot be afraid of evil. That's what the Torah is teaching us over here.
On the other hand, the Paro was much smaller than old.
Huh?
Paro was a midget compared to old. Opposite than old.
Yeah, but you know, he brings down over here, Ramu Chazal, Mechemes Sichem Ve'eg was worse than Pari. Because when they said Shira and Pari's downfall, they said, you know, Oz Yashir, they were supposed to say Shira and Mepele Sichem Ve'eg. Because it's a very big miracle Hashem did that they conquered Sichem and Eig, right? Akash Baruch Hu killed them in Sterot. V'avle Amru, Acha Amr David HaMelech, like it says, L'maki Melachim G'daylam K'li Elam Chazdei, L'sichem Melech HaMeiri, K'li Elam Chazdei. This is the greatness of it.
But Hashem didn't really like Shira for that. He reprimanded the angels when they said...
No, that's because that's outsiders. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, we'll get there one day, a few years, Bikash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasei Sancher of Mashiach. Hashem wanted to make Sancher of Mashiach. Hashem wanted to make Chizkiya Mashiach. Why didn't he? Because when Sancherev, who is the superpower of the world, Melech Ashur, yeah, the strongest king of the world, was conquered by the Jews failed to sing Shira. And because the Jews didn't say thank you to Hashem for the downfall of Sancherev in the hands of Chizkiya, and Chizkiya was the king, because of that, Hashem said that Mashiach's not coming now.
So the problem was the king?
The king represents the nation.
Well, doesn't Pirkei Avot say, don't gloat over your enemy's downfall?
Yeah.
So
the Mefarshim say there could be Jewish enemies.
Is there Jewish?
But there's a difference between the Jews saying praise because the miracle happened to them. The Malachim, they wanted to sing praise, but that really has nothing to do with them. It wasn't the miracle happening to them. They wanted to say praise to Hashem. Hashem said, my creatures are drowning in the sea by Kiryas Yam Tzuf, the Egyptians. And you want to sing Shira? But the Jews sang Shira, because the miracle happened to them. So it's a grind. The Mefarshim explained that this story of Sichem and Eig teaches a Jew that no matter how strong they are, and that's why the Torah keeps talking how big it was, how massive the guys were and all that. And he says like this, what does it mean in An Amma, normally, the Gemara says, by an average person is from here to here. That's how much an Amma is. Yeah? That's the size of an Amma.
A foot and a half.
Huh? Whatever. A foot and a half to 2 feet. The Pasuk says it was an Oig Amma. That means from Oig here to here. It was a lot bigger, obviously. Okay. Weiter. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vesa'ad it says, Eisi Rasha may say, his land we inherited. Mi Arerer, Asher Nachal Arnein, from Arerer, which is a Nachal Arnein, Ad V'chatzi Hara Gilud V'arov, and half of Gilad and the cities are gave to Reuven v'Lagadi. Remember that they took over the Sichon and Neg. V'yaser haGilad v'chol haBashan haMlachaseg, and the rest of Gilad and Bashan, which was the city of Eig, Nasati lechatzi shevet haMenashe. The Torah is just telling us now who got what in the Sichon and Neg territory. Kochevel or Argev, all the region of Argev v'chol haBashan for the all of Bashan. Ahu yikari eretz refoyim. All of that is called the land of refoyim. Okay, in a general way. Because that's what they were at the beginning. Yoreh ben Menashe, Yoreh the son of Menashe, lokach as kol chevel Argev, took the region of Argev, ad gvul ak shuriv ha-machosi, until the border of Geshuriz and his places. Vayikra eisem al shmei es ha-boshen chaveis yoyer. He called them, after his name, the boshen chaveis yoyer, ad yem ezeb. These were where he conquered them on his own, and he called them after his name. Ulamachin Nasati Sagilod, Machin I gave Gilod, for Ravini of Lagodi, he's just giving it, dividing out the land, how he did it. Nasati min Agilod, Anachal, Anan Techa Nachal Agvul, within the borders in the Gvul Bnei Amin, the boundaries of Bnei Amin. Just telling us what, how he divided it. Okay? What else did he give them? Va'rava va'gvul va'yadin u'gvul, the boundaries of the Jordan River and its border. This is the east side of the Jordan. Mikineret ad yom ha'rava, from Kineret until the Arabian Sea, which is Yom HaMelech, tachas ashtei sepizga mizracha, until the waterfalls of the mountaintop eastward. You know, whatever, that was like he says, this is the Eva Yardin on the west, Bnei Gavin went on the east, and, you know, the various different places. Okay, so he says like this. Atzav Eschem, now Hashem is going back to Bnei God, Bnei Ruvin. I command you that day late, saying, Hashem Elokeichem, Nasan Lechem Esar, says Eisel Rishto. Hashem gave you the land. Remember, that was the deal. In order to, you can build cities for your wives and kids, you know, but you have to go fight. And then, when you come back, then Hashem will give you the land. So he says, Hashem Elokeichem Nasan Lachem, Hashem already gave you the land. Lurishta to inherit. Chalutz and Tavru, you should go armed. Lefnei Acheichem Bnei Yisrael, before the Jews. Kol Bnei Choyu, all the people that are, you know, accomplishment, meaning all the soldiers. It says, God was so strong. The Pasuk says, V'tarav Zereya Avkotkeid. Bnei God was so strong that when they hit somebody with a sword, they cut off the head and the hand with one blow. The Torah of Zereya Avkotkeid.
Not sharp.
If you're strong, the sharp is not here. And Zaysa Brachot says, the Torah of Zereya Avkotkeid, tearing off an arm and even a head. And Rashi over there says, Harugeim hoyu nikorim, the ones people God killed, they were the noticeable, chaitchim harosh im azaroya b'maka achas. With one hit, they knocked off the head and the hand, they chopped off the head and the hand. I don't know which hand, it depends which way they went. This way, this way. Okay. Rak nesheichem v'tapchem u'miknechem, the only ones that can stay behind are your wives, the small children, and the animals. Yadaiti, I know, ki mikne rav lachem, that you have a lot of cattle. Yeshvu ba'areichem, let them sit and dwell in the cities, asher nasati lachem, that I have given you. Okay, so therefore they can stay here, but you have to go fight. Not only that, They had to go fight in front of Me'acheichem. It wasn't enough they went to battle, they had to go first in the battle. Ada she'aniach Hashem alakechem kochem, until Hashem will give the rest of your brothers like you, meaning just like you got the land, they will get the land. The Yarshu gamhein as the Adetz Hashem alakechem neisin lam beivere erdin, they will also inherit the land that Hashem gave you in Eivere Yarden. The Shaftem ish l'rushasi, then you could return to your land of Shinasati Lachem. This is where the Pasuk is saying, the Pasuk says over here that when can B'nai God and B'nai Reuven come back? When they conquer the land, V'yoshu gam heim es ha'aretz. That's why in Yeshua it says, it took him 7 years to conquer the land, and 7 years to divide the land. For those 14 years, B'nai God and B'nai Reuven were not home. They stayed there, the Torah says here clearly. V'yoshu gam heim es ha'aretz, they have to inherit the land that Hashem gives them, then you can go back. Vers Yeshua tzivesi v'esei hilemer, and Yeshua commanded at that time, Einecha reis, your own eyes have seen. I want to see one thing a second. Okay. So there's about 20 minutes. But Yeshua Tzivesa commanded Yeshua Beisei Lema at that time saying, Einecha Reis, your own eyes have seen. It's called Asher Otza Hashem Lakech Meshnei Amlochem Eila. Now Yeshua is the leader, right? He's going to go on to fight the rest of the nations. So he needed encouragement. So Hashem said to Yeshua, you see what I just did to these two guys? That's what I'm going to do to the rest of them. Ken Yasa Hashem, the Chola Mamlochem, so Hashem is going to do to all the nations, Asha'ata Ever Shama, that Hashem is where you're going to go over there. Leitiroim, Hashem says like this, don't be afraid of any of the seven nations. Why? And he says why. Kashem alakechem hu anilchem lochem, because God is what's fighting for you. What does this mean in the spiritual sense, to finish off with this point? We just said the fight of Sichon and Neig represents the fight between Kedusha, the Jews, and Sichon and Neig, the battle between Kedusha and evil. So Kedusha, holiness. So a person can say, but how could I do it? So the Pasuk saying over here, why? Kashem alakechem hu anilchem lochem. When a Jew fights evil, as soon as the Jew comes to fight, then Hashem takes over the battle.
You have to come.
You have to come. There's a very interesting Gemara, an expression of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Habal letaher misayin eisei. If somebody comes to purify themselves, God helps them. Give them a say, yeah, Hashem helps them. It doesn't say, one who purifies themselves, God purifies them. It says, Habal letaher. You're not even purifying yourself. You're just coming to purify yourself. Then automatically Messiah Nasi. When a person understands that Eile Varechav Eile Basusim, that they come with horses and chariots, Vanachna B'Shem Hashem Nazgir, or Nidgo, whichever two psukim, we're fighting with the name of Hashem, so then a person should not be afraid to fight evil. In other words, in life, when a person has challenges of evil, because any challenge basically is evil. It's trying to stop us from doing mitzvahs. A Jew has to know that they can overcome it. Why can they overcome it? So just to say it in simpler languages like this. A Jew has a neshama. The neshama is a part of Hashem. Just like Hashem, for Hashem, nothing is too difficult. For the neshama of the Jew, nothing's too difficult. In the battle between the neshama, the yetzer hara, between nefesh elokiyos, nefesh habamis, a Jew has to know that because it's Hashem milchem lachem. Why? Because the Jew is a chelek alakah. A Jew is a part of Hashem, and just like for Hashem, nothing's impossible. For a Jew, nothing's impossible. What needs to happen is two things. Number one, you need to go fight, and you need to know loy tiron. You can't be afraid. Because if you're afraid, the Gemara says in Saita, Tchilas Nefila is Nisa. You're running away, that's the beginning of the downfall.
Mm.
When you're afraid to take the plunge, so to speak, and do what you need to do, that's the beginning of the downfall. That's what the Pasuk is saying. That's why the Torah is telling us all these stories. It's not stump stories. Who cares what happened to Ig? It's not relevant. It is relevant because it's the battle between good and bad.